Good morning, and thank you for joining us. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier today about the anti-ICE protests in the United States, particularly in Los Angeles, and it makes you think back to some of the protests that have happened here in Canada. And my next guest is here to help us think back actually 90 years, the 90th anniversary this year of the On to Ottawa trek. Have you heard about this? This Regina and Saskatchewan played a pretty significant role in this On to Ottawa trek, and many would say not in a good way. Here to tell us a little bit more about it and to remember 90 years ago is Garnet Dishaw. Now, Garnet wasn't there 90 years ago, but he's a retired trade unionist. He's an amateur labor historian, and we get Garnet from his retirement home today around the Last Mountain area. Garnet, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleased to be with you, and I appreciate your interest, Evan.
So let's talk to me a little bit about this On to Ottawa trek, because it was a pretty big movement 90 years ago in 1935.
Yeah, well, I won't go on about the Great Depression. People are generally aware of that. A huge economic downturn that resulted in close to 30% unemployment, and people traveling the country looking for work that just wasn't there. The implications for working people were very bad. It was combined in Saskatchewan and the prairies with a severe drought for a decade. So we were hit harder than most other areas of Canada. By 1933, the historians that have looked at this say that one in five Canadians was dependent on government financial relief. That's the old term for social assistance.
Yeah.
Or the dole. And here in Regina, 20% of the families were on relief. Income had dropped 72% by 1934, and it was a harsh environment to be in. A Regina family of four on relief could expect $16 for food, a food allowance, mm-hmm. another $20 for rent, coal, light, and water. So all of this unemployment, a lot of young men traveling the country, riding in boxcars if they could get in, or the top of boxcars, what do you do about it? Lauren Brown, the Regina historian, U of R historian, says that his research indicates over 200,000 single, homeless, unemployed young men roaming the country.
Wow.
Well, what came up was a proposal by General Andrew McNaughton, who was head of the Canadian military, a Saskatchewan boy originally. He wanted work camps set up. This would get the unemployed out of the cities, something that Prime Minister R.B. Bennett wanted to see, because there were larger and larger protests in the cities. So they set up relief camps, work camps. The inmates called them slave camps. And there were just over 100 of them across the country, 103, 105, depending on how you count. It was heavy physical work, a gratuity, that's what they called it, of 20 cents a day. I didn't misspeak there. 20 cents a day for
wow.
heavy physical labor. Army rations, it was administered by the Army, and it was a bit authoritarian. Well, they'd had enough. By the early months of 1935, and they, on the 4th of April, they walked out of the camps, close to 2,000 in Western Alberta and BC, and they went to Vancouver, and for 2 months they had huge demonstrations, parades, confronted municipal politicians, had sit-ins at the Hudson Bay store, the city museum and art gallery. And then on the 3rd of June, 1935, they decided that their problem wasn't with Mayor McGeer in Vancouver or Duff Pitello, the premier. Their problem was with Ottawa, and they would go to Ottawa on the top of trains. And that they rode the tops because the railway police locked the boxcars. They didn't want them riding inside the boxcar. They were stopped in Regina by the federal government in late June. They arrived here in Regina on the 14th of June, 1935. And the federal Prime Minister, R.B. Bennett, said they weren't going any further. They were here for 3 weeks, and on the 1st of July, 1935, at a big public meeting that was at least half Regina citizens that supported the Trekkers, there were arrests made. It was in Market Square, where the Regina Police Station now sits, and arrests of the leaders, Arthur Evans, George Black were arrested, and this caused a series of melees, hand-to-hand fighting. There were brawls that went on.
It was a riot, right? It was coded as a riot that day.
Yes, and there was a lot of very serious fighting, and portions of pavement thrown and half bricks, and ultimately there were shots fired, Bill Wazer in his book goes into that at some length. It's really quite amazing that there weren't more people killed. There were two killed, Charles Miller, a detective with the Regina City Police, was clubbed on the head by somebody. It was never determined who, and he died. And there was a trekker, Nicholas Shack, who was had suffered a severe concussion too, and he died some weeks later.
Can I just jump in, Garnet? Because we've only got about a minute left. What did the description is great, and thank you for being able to walk us through history 90 years ago. Have we learned something? Did this set in motion positive change in labor movements?
You know, I think it did. The response of the Bennett government was so unlike the Americans and the New Deal down there, where they did have work and wages. But after the Great Depression of the 1930s and the Regina riot, I don't think any government, federal or provincial, could say any longer, we're just going to be spectators. We're going to adjust the interest rate and not try to undertake any kind of serious job creation. We're just going to let the market correct itself and sit on the sidelines. That day was over. And when Bennett lost the election in the fall of 35, Mackenzie King came back in with a huge majority. I think that policy by his government and previous governments was dead and gone. Governments could no longer just be spectators.
Darn it, I've got to jump in. We're up against the clock. Thank you so much for joining us today. A wealth of knowledge, and it's been awesome having you on the show.
All right.
Garnet Dishaw, who is a amateur labor historian, and the work that he's done, along with people like Bill Wazer, who's been on our show as well, to document the Regina riots back in 1935. Hard to believe it was really this time 90 years ago. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.